Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty. I guess the first question I want to know is, you're just back from Israel, and I want to combine that question with your reaction to what you saw there with your very difficult decision you have to make on the Iran deal as to whether or not to support the president's negotiated treaty with the Iranians. Perhaps you could put them together.
Sure, absolutely. And again, always a pleasure to be with you, and you know, appreciate your digging into the issues in a serious way, because you know, it's a complicated world, and no place more complicated in the world, frankly, than the Middle East.
You bet.
So I just returned yesterday morning, flying overnight with a group of 20-plus House members who had spent the previous week in Israel. It's a trip that I had committed to do more than 2 years ago, but with family, my father-in-law's birthday, unable to do. So did join this year for the trip, and it was, of course, a particularly appropriate time. And for the first time in many years, it was actually, we had bipartisan overlap, so overlapped for a day and a half with the Republican delegation that is there for this week. So that's always a good thing. We've got to figure out how to work together right here in the U.S., and that's a good way to do it.
Who did you meet with when you were there?
We met with a wide range of people, you know, including folks active in civil society, LGBT activists, entrepreneurs. Israel is the third largest density of venture capital money. So they've got something called sort of Startup Nation, huge vibrancy in their entrepreneurial efforts, particularly in the sort of high-tech, cybersecurity, and biotech area. So we met with folks in that area. But of course, the big issue on everyone's mind was the Iran deal. So we met with Prime Minister Netanyahu. We met with the leader of the opposition, Mr. Herzog. We went up to the Golan Heights and met with the top Israeli general who is responsible for overseeing that part of the world. Literally, I kid you not, we were looking down into Syria. We could see the line. And in the distance, you could see smoke from shelling that's going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, looking over into Lebanon, we met with Palestinian Authority leaders. We met with the current finance minister, and we met with the previous but still active Prime Minister Fayyad, who's a very impressive and interesting fellow. So we met with a wide range of folks.
And what'd you learn?
Well, learned that, you know, Israel is a very, very small country, you know, taking something smaller than New England, with hostile neighbors on all sides, and the challenges of that, overlapping histories over millennia, challenging neighbors north, south, and east that they're dealing with, but incredible vibrancy and, you know, a lot of hope and optimism. And, you know, it, the importance of maintaining and strengthening the U.S. and Israel's close relationship. And one of the takeaways, I have to say, which was important, a couple of them. One was how the present configuration, especially with the rise of ISIS and just the cratering disintegration of both Syria and, frankly, of Iraq, and real challenges in Iraq, but certainly complete disintegration in Syria, has really brought Israel's interests in close reliance with Jordan and Egypt and Saudi Arabia, as well as they're all concerned about the rise of Iran. And so that was interesting to hear folks talk about that. And that's, you know, historic. That is new. And it's not to be sneezed at that Israel has maintained a 30-year peace treaty with Egypt. And if you think about the challenges in that part of the world and what Egypt has been through in the last few years, it's important to remember that good deals and good accords that parties want to make work have an important lasting influence in reducing war and reducing civilian pain and death. So that was one takeaway. And another was, there was just discussion about, well, you know, how can we achieve the goals we all want, which is a safe and secure Israel, an increase in respect and civil rights in the region, and greater security and greater stability in the region. The instability threatens everyone there and has the most impact on children. So that was part of what we learned, too.
Which brings us, of course, to your dilemma or to your decision on whether to support the president on his deal.
Well, the way I'm looking at this is not so much about supporting the president or not supporting the president. The question is, you know, is this deal, which I commend the president and Secretaries Kerry and Moniz for their leadership in pushing so hard to try to achieve a deal that can prevent a nuclear-armed Iran. And that's what I'm going to be looking at this point, is my job and my obligation as a member of the House of Representatives to cast a wise vote, an informed vote, about what will best advance the U.S.'s national security interests in the region and globally, and what will protect Israel, our closest ally in the region.
So and give us a hint. Where are you leaning?
Well, I truly, honestly have not made up my mind. I've been reviewing classified documents when I'm in Washington. We've gotten a lot of opportunities, and I am taking advantage of them to talk to folks in the National Security Council, to speak with intelligence experts, former ambassadors, military personnel, think tank, folks here, of course, in the district, most importantly, but also experts who have been involved in negotiations, and some of them involved in military actions in that part of the world over the last 25 years. So I am genuinely deeply involved in trying to sort out the best way forward on this.
Well, we only have 2 minutes, but let me ask you this. What's it like to be a congresswoman and to have a decision like this hanging over your head? I mean, how do you take the pressure?
You try to do the best you humanly can. Mm-hmm. And recognize, you know, this is not a vote, again, it's not a political vote. This is a vote for history. This is a vote about what you believe is the best course forward for the future for this country and, frankly, for the world. It's a weighty and momentous vote.
Are you getting a lot of pressure from lobbyists and from others?
Getting a lot of communication. Lots and lots of people calling, writing in, which is a great thing. You know, it's a great thing. There's a very high level of interest of folks in Central and Northwest Connecticut. We're very concerned, very interested, a lot of ideas and a lot of questions. And frankly, that's one of the reasons I want people to email or write is with questions or comments so that I can try to get answers. That's part of my job, is to try to get as much information as I can to make the best, wisest decision that I possibly can.
Elizabeth Esty, everybody wants to be a congressperson, but then sooner or later, you know, you see the agony that you have to go through in making what you are saying is the right decision, and that's not an easy thing to do.
No, you're not elected to do what's easy.
Exactly.
You're elected to do what needs to get done. And, yeah. You know, I am grateful and honored to have the opportunity to be part, you know, one of the voices of the American people in making this decision. I voted for the legislation earlier this year to ensure that the American people had their voice expressed on this deal. Mm-hmm. It was not just the administration, this president, or any other, to make such a momentous decision. Because it is a question about the future of nuclear weapons in a very dangerous part of the world, and how we can best move forward with Iran, a sworn enemy of this country for 40 years, that has been vigorously pursuing nuclear weapons. That is a weighty decision, and I take it seriously and going to use as much time as I need to resolve as many questions and, again, cast, I hope, the most thoughtful, informed, and wise vote.
And we are grateful and honored that you show up and talk to us. You're one of the most articulate voices we have on the show, and we certainly thank you for doing it.
Well, thank you so much, and let people know I did not pay you to say that, not at all.
When we come back, we'll talk about more mundane but closer to home and very important deals like guns and rails. So we'll be back.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. Always great to be with you.